1 Peter 2:11 is a verse we're going to launch into this study this morning. We're going to study lots of them as we go through it. But the Bible says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." We're challenged in the Scriptures to abstain from fleshly lust. And when we talk about being an uncomfortable parent, we're talking this morning about talking to our children about sex and purity. That's what we're going to talk about this morning and try to get God's heart and mind in the matter to equip you and I as fathers and mothers to do this and to do it well. A photographer for a national magazine was assigned to photograph a raging forest fire that was out of control. And due to the smoke and the emergency traffic, he was having a difficult time getting the pictures he wanted to really tell the story as he saw it. And so in a frenzy, he called back to the office and asked them to charter a plane and a pilot there at the local airport. And moments later, he received the message from the home office that the plane would be waiting for him there at the tarmac when he arrived. And so he made his way hastily to the small airport. And as he got there, he saw a small plane out there on the runway warming up. And so he jumped in and still kind of catching his breath and said, let's go. And he knew time was of the essence to go and get the photographs that he wanted to tell this story. So once they got in the air, he instructed the pilot to the correct side of the fire, and then he asked him to bank in a specific manner that would allow him to get the photograph that he really wanted to get for this story. And the pilot curiously responded, "Well, why do you want me to do that?" And the man kind of sharply said, "Well, because I'm the photographer. And photographers take pictures, and that's the picture that I want to get to tell the story." Well, he noticed when he gave his pilot that instruction that his pilot turned white and started to sweat. And the passenger was a little worried, and the pilot said to him, "You mean you're not my flight instructor?" And he quickly realized at that moment that he was going to be in for the ride of his life. And you know, when you and I come to the topic of talking to our children about purity, about sex, about these kinds of things, we're in for the ride of our life. There's no doubt about it. But I want to tell you something this morning. You're the instructor. You are the one that God has given to them to help them navigate through this season of their life. It's your job. I know when you stood at the marriage altar and everything was a blur and it was all going to be wonderful and you said, "I do," maybe some of these realities were not considered, but they're part of the package. They're part of the fine print. This is part of what we signed on for as fathers and mothers. And it's vital that we accept this job because everybody else is applying for it. And the problem in our culture and society is that everybody is talking to our kids about sex except us. And we have to recognize the America that we live in 2016, and we have to accept our responsibility and role that we have in the hearts and minds and lives of our children. Now, as we think about this job as the instructor, there are three things we need to help our young person with. Number one, and this is just introduction, but I think you have some of this in your notes, understand God's creation. We have to help our child understand God's creation. By the way, God did create sex, and we're going to study that a little bit this morning. And in His creation and the confines of marriage, it's beautiful. It's a wonderful gift from the Lord. Secondly, we need to help them navigate sexual temptations. Navigate sexual temptations. And if you have a child of teen years, this is not if, this is when. Okay, this is going to be part of that journey. Thirdly, prepare then for a lifetime commitment and a passionate marriage. We want to help our children prepare for a lifetime commitment and a passionate marriage. We want to help them succeed in this area of life. And for some, you're in this mode right now. For some, this is on the horizon. For some, this is file and save away later. But it's something we need to learn that we might better our homes. Now, we know that everybody's talking about this, and we need to fulfill that responsibility as well. It's been said, the enemy's strategy is to awaken your child early, misinform them, enlarge their desires, pervert them, and then lead them into fornication. Fornication is sexual sin before they know what happened. That's what Satan wants to do in the lives of our children, and we have to combat that by being an uncomfortable parent. Now, if the enemy can rob our children of their purity, then he can turn that into serious lifelong damage that runs very deep. Let's be honest. His design class is made up of all imperfect people. right? And all of us came to the Lord at different stages in our lives. And one of the things I love about our class is it's the book of Acts coming to life. We have people that are our guests today. We have people that have recently been saved. Jesse Baldwin in our class got baptized this morning. People are getting started in discipleship. I mean, all phases of Christian life and growth are on display in our class each and every Sunday, and thank God for that. And so many of us know, you know, there were some decisions I made in my past that I wish could have been different. And there are some things I have to work through maybe more stringently today because of some things in my past. And if we can help our children avoid that, that's our job. That's what we want to pass down to them and to take it very, very seriously. Now, there are some scary statistics out there in our culture regarding sex. And Guttmeier Institute did a recent study on teen sexual health. And I'm just going to run through these. I don't know if you have these or not. But by the age of 15, 13% of all teens have had a sexual relationship. By the age of 19, 70% of all teens have had a sexual relationship. The average age for the first sexual relationship for boys and girls is 17. Every year, almost 750,000 15 to 19-year-olds become pregnant. And TV is saturated with sex. According to the Kaiser Family Foundation, 70% of all TV shows today contain sexual content, which translates into 5 scenes per hour. This means that the sexual scenes on TV just since the year 2000 have doubled. And during primetime television, 8 in every 10 shows include sexual content, averaging 6 sexual scenes per hour. Now, the American Psychological Association estimates that teenagers are exposed to 14,000 sexual references and innuendos on television alone a year. 14,000 a year. In addition, with cable television, extreme and reality TV, there's a new generation gaining momentum of sexual content on television that continually points to the weird, absurd, degenerate, and perverted forms of sexual references. In fact, studies show that a huge percentage of the viewers of sexually explicit TV shows are elementary age children. When the TV is on in the home, we're not really aware of what's on, and the smaller children are there to digest whatever it is. The music industry is saturated with performers promoting outright perversion, abuse, and profanity. And the message of the world is sex, sex, sex. Perverted, casual, adulterous, whenever, with whomever, however, sex in America today has become a god. Now, the message of the Bible is that sex is good. Within God's original boundaries of a lifetime commitment in marriage between one man and one woman. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. But unfortunately, many Christian parents view the biblical topic of sexuality as disgraceful. But God doesn't. He has much to say about this topic, and He blesses it within the confines of the marriage relationship. We've said it before in His design. The problem in America today is all the wrong people are having the sex. God gave that act as a gift to marriage because of the unity, the intimacy, the closeness that it provides between a monogamous relationship of one man and one woman for life. And the problem with our culture is we have perverted that, which is what Satan always does. He takes what is perfect from God and he perverts it in the world, and we don't have love, we have lust, and we have all of these things of rage. And then we, in 2016, as fathers and mothers, have the privilege of raising our children in this culture, in this society, in this generation. So we better buckle up, we better know what we're facing, and we better have a game plan to help them navigate through this successfully. So how do we do it? Let's jump in, number one. And I got to move fast. I know I've got 5 points, and I'm going to talk fast. Here we go. Number one, why parents don't talk to teens about sex. Why do parents not talk with their children about this needy topic? Now, most parents never speak to their kids about sex, even though we know that we should, and our kids want and need us to do so. Why is this the case? Very quickly, letter A, because of non-communication. Non-communication. Some spouses don't even talk to each other about this subject. Their home is silence on the subject. Nobody mums a word about it. And that's the reason they're not engaging their children on it. And I just want to challenge all of us in this room, that is a very, very poor practice. We cannot be silent on this topic. our children, and we'll talk about ages and what to say and so on to some degree in this lesson, but our children must find us initiating and engaging. They must. Satan is after them in their life, and he's not going to hold back. And we better not be caught because we did. So we've got to communicate. Letter B, some because of family culture. We're uncomfortable because our parents never talked with us. It's unfamiliar and it feels awkward. Some come from homes where this just was never discussed. And it was, you know, you'll figure it out. Mom and I figured it out. You'll figure it out. And it'll all be great. And the shortcomings of our parents, if that applies, is not an excuse for our own. We can grow and we should. Letter C, because of misguided Christian values. Because of misguided Christian values. Sometimes we think as Christians that this subject is somehow shameful and should not be spoken of at all. But have you ever read the Bible? This topic is in there a lot. Don't ever forget that sex was God's idea. He created it. He gave it to marriage. It's His original intent. Again, the problem is who's having it. Letter D, because of false assumptions. Because of false assumptions. This one gets many parents because they think their children already know. Now, I want to encourage you about something. I don't know what our children know and don't know. We're going to talk about that a little bit in this lesson. But here's what I do know. I don't care how much your kids know. They need to hear from you. You need to create the environment of this topic in their mind and heart. And my assumption is if they know stuff that they haven't heard from you, it's probably not coming from the right perspective. And you need to correct it. Okay? You need to get involved and make that right. False assumptions. Letter E, because of fear. Because of fear. We don't know what to say, how to say it, or when to say it. And quite frankly, we're just afraid to say it. Now, is this something that we're all looking forward to? Probably not. Is this something that's, you know, when we think of parenting, I can't wait for that day? Maybe not. It's not even completely normal to talk about it in this setting right now. But you know what? The more I studied this, the more I thought about this week, the more I thought, shame on me for the fact that in 4 years I haven't taught on this. We're in family ministry. We have a responsibility to lead our families. This is an area we've got to confront and we've got to know about it. So we can't be taken by fear. Letter F, because of ignorance. Sometimes we don't talk about it because of ignorance. We're naive enough to think that they're not thinking about it. Now, again, I know our class represents, we've got a newborn in here this morning, and we've got children beyond this stage, and there's everybody in between. But wherever you are, as you prepare for that, don't assume they're not thinking about it. Listen, we understand the culture and society we're living in today, and we've got to engage in this topic, in this conversation. Letter G, sometimes it's because of past guilt. Past guilt. We're guilty over our own promiscuous past, and we feel unqualified or hesitant to parent in this department. And I want to encourage our class this morning to never forget 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, where the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. And as you stand before your children and you teach them the Word of God, don't you allow Satan to beat you up over your life before Christ. That is the old man. You are new in Christ, and you are living according to the Word of God. And you're doing your best to live pure according to your knowledge of the Scriptures, and that's exactly what you want to instill in the hearts and minds of your children. And Satan's going to try to beat you up and say, well, what about you? And you just tell Satan, that was before I was living for God, and today I am a new person in Christ, becoming more like Him every day, and that is who I want my children to be. Letter H, sometimes it's because of indifference. Indifference. We haven't decided to care enough about the future of our children or the preparation of their married life. We basically plan to let them just figure it out for themselves. And I just want to encourage us this morning, let's not do that. Let's be willing to have this conversation. We must biblically talk to our children about the subject of sex. It's our responsibility. And if we choose not to do it, our silence will open many dangerous doors and temptations in their life that they will be unprepared to face. Well, I don't want them to hear this and this from so-and-so and so-and-so. Well, then they better hear something from you. Because if all they get from you on this topic is silence, somebody will offer to speak into their life. And because of the questions in their heart, they'll be pray for whatever it is they hear. The greatest thing you can do is speak to them. Secondly, the two great protectors of purity. There's two great protectors of purity for our children that God has given to you and I, and we want to know them. Number one, letter A, is the truth. The truth. Jesus says in John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Kids need truth in this area, and they deserve to know it. You and I got to understand this morning that the deceptive side of this topic and the information flow, there's a constant flood of noise. But on the truthful side, when it comes to this topic and the information flow, there's oftentimes silence or hesitation. And there's no wonder when you look at this topic and what's being fed into this generation, when there's all the noise on the one side about deception and very little truth being given to them, no wonder so many young people are destroying their lives in this area because they're not being fed the truth. And we must determine to speak to them the truth. Jonathan, would you jump up here real quick? And Jonathan, how would you like $5? Can I give you $5? All right, and there you go. You like that?
Yeah.
Will that help you?
No.
No, why not?
Because it's not real.
It's not real. It's a $5 Monopoly money. Jonathan, what if I gave you this one?
Sure.
Would that be a blessing?
Yeah.
Yeah, why is that?
Because it is real.
Because it's real. Now listen to me very, very carefully. Thank you, and you can have the $5. No, I don't want that one back. You can... The way that our children will know what is not real is dependent upon our ability to teach them what is real. If we don't want our children and their lives falling for this, which our world has in abundance, then we better get this out and we better teach them. And we better instruct them in the truths of the Word of God. And they better see an example in our life because it will help them to navigate through what is real and what is deception. So, the truth. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:22, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." And 1 Timothy 2:11, we read that we are to abstain from fleshly lust. So, we're to give our children the truth. But then secondly, a great protector of our children's purity is approachable parents. Approachable parents. Now, the agreement that you and I must make with our children is that they can ask you and I about anything, anytime regarding sexual matters, and we will give them a biblical, transparent, and truthful answer. We need to make sure that in the hearts and minds of our children, they know there is a wide open door for them to come to us about this anytime, about anything, and we will answer them biblically, transparently, and honestly from the Word of God. They've got to know that that is there. We've got to be approachable. Would we rather they ask somebody else? Would we rather they do an internet search on the topic? It is a good thing that our children are seeking and wanting to know what God's truth is. And we have to be willing to be a sincere, approachable parent and invite them to come and to have this conversation with you and I. This may at times feel strange or awkward, and it may at times feel like we're not quite sure how to handle it or navigate through it. But there really is nothing more biblical when we think about the role of being a father and mother than having this kind of a talk and helping our child in such an important area. And somewhere along the way, we've lost sight of what it is that an authentic biblical family is supposed to be. This is where children come with a questioning heart and a desire to grow and to learn, and then where moms and dads answer according to the Word of God. We see this in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for it shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." How will they know when to say no? Because they receive the instruction of father and mother. We've got to be an approachable parent, willing to teach the truth of the Word of God. Thirdly, then, let's look at choosing the right time and age. Choosing the right time and age. Now, an oft-asked question concerning this topic is, when do I talk to my kids about sexual things? And the answer is this: before anyone else does. That's the answer. And it's a varying answer depending on what environments you allow your children to be in. And I would challenge every father and mother, be very careful the environments in which you have your children in. There are some environments that you can place your children in that will force you to handle some things much sooner than you may have ever imagined because of what they're being exposed to. So you have to make that decision for yourself before the Lord. But we've got to get to them before anybody else does. We certainly have to get to them before Hollywood does. And we've got to be sure that our kids hear from us before they hear from their peers. And the goal of this process is to have kind of a progression or a gradual unfolding of a series of conversations during these developmental years. It's not all going to be one time, one thing, all at once. It's going to happen over time and be a progression along the way. So let me give you some phases. First of all, letter A, phase one is the protection phase. The protection phase, and this usually happens in the elementary years. Now, in this time of life, as we're guiding our children, there's not a lot of detailed information given, just guidance. One of the most important things you're assuring in the elementary years to the children is you can come to us about anything, anytime, we can talk, but we only want you talking to us. That's what you begin to teach elementary children, that this is an area that God created. This is something that moms and dads should talk to their children about. This is something the children should talk to their mom and dad about. There's nothing wrong with that. We want to teach you. We want to guide you. We want to help you. You come to us with any question, but we ask that you don't talk to anybody else but us. Those are the kinds of things that you are developing in the elementary years because you are developing the protection phase. Satan's after the life of your child, and you're doing your best you can to protect. Then it leads to letter B, phase two. Phase two is the connection phase, and this is during the teen years, all right? And in this phase, the goal of it is to personally connect with your children in more detail and giving them more accurate information to give them an open door to you, and most importantly, to make sure you have an open door to their hearts, that you and that child have an open door in this conversation. And you want to make sure that they're not talking to their friends about this, but that they're talking to you. You want to engage in the conversation. You want to initiate the conversation. You want to authentically and biblically answer questions. And you want to make sure that the connection they need around this topic, and it is a need, is being developed with you. And during these years, you and I have to recognize our children can handle the truth. And we need to treat this subject as sacred, not shameful or juvenile. The teen years is not the years to make everything humor. They're moving into a phase, this is reality. Now, why in the world God ever gave teenagers the process of going through puberty and these desires and so on a few years before they're to be married? You know, every mom and dad would love to see that one change, but it's just the way that God designed it, and it's teaching them dependence on God and His Word and a disciplined commitment to purity before marriage so that they have that in marriage, and there's a lot of good that comes from it, but it's going to require you and I to be vigilant and to be involved, and so we've got to be prepared to provide them with biblical and well-reasoned answers. During the teen years, no doubt modesty will come up and appropriateness will come up, entertainment choices and friendship choices, and we need to be involved in all of those. They are growing and developing more dependent. That is true. But that does not mean you just step back and let them figure it all out. You make sure that their development, and while they're becoming more dependent, is happening in an environment that you are well aware of and influencing, because they need that from you. And so we want to make sure that we're helping with that connection. And by the way, when we think about that, we want to be sure that we're guarding our entertainment. If we are allowing suggestive entertainment into our home with sexual content or innuendos or whatever, and then we try to take a hard stance on purity and abstinence and modesty and appropriateness and so on, it's going to become a joke because it's a point of hypocrisy in our own home. We talked a lot about that last week with the shepherding parent. You could listen to the lesson if you missed it. We want to make sure that we're guarding that in our home. If we sow that seed, we will not like the harvest. So we need to be very, very careful. Then phase number three is the preparation phase. Now, this happens during the pre-marriage months, 2 or 3 months prior to the wedding date, now entering into the preparation phase. And the goal this time is to prepare our about-to-be-wed child for the person in whom they're to marry for a happy honeymoon, a realistic early marriage expectations, and a more deliberate, involved understanding of the details concerning sex. In this phase, we want to be sure that we are specific, that we are clear, that we are open, honest, and sensitive. But most of all, in every phase, it is imperative we're there. We have to be there. And if there's something in our life that is preventing us from being there in the lives of our children, we need to ask God today to help us reevaluate our priorities, because we have our children for such a brief time during these developmental years. If we're not involved in their life, the rest of their life suffers as a result. So we want to make sure that we are there. Then as we think about this conversation number four, we want to be sure we choose the right approach. The question is often asked, what do I say? How specific do I get in this conversation? And the answer is that we are to speak the truth in love. Now, the book of Proverbs is probably the best example of a father teaching his son about sexual temptation. In Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 1, he says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding." And let me, letter A, give you some scriptures to teach. I'm going to fly through these, and they'll have to be studied this week on our own time. But in Proverbs chapter 5 in the beginning, we see the teaching of what kind of a woman will bring someone down. In the latter part of chapter 5, it teaches about the consequences and to avoid a woman such as this. In Proverbs chapter 5 again, we see the teaching of a pure marriage and a relationship. In the 7th chapter of Proverbs, we see the complete story of how sexual temptation destroyed one man's life. In Genesis 24, we're reminded of the godly story of how Isaac and Rebekah were brought together by God in love in his time. In Judges 14, we see the scriptures covering the out-of-control passions of Samson. And in 1 Kings 11, tells us how unrestrained sexual desires ruined the wisest man who ever lived. And you and I have to be determined, we're not just going to cover the biology with our children, we're going to teach them the biblical truth. We're going to make sure we're coming at it with the scriptures and helping them in this way. We want them to know what the purpose of sex is. It is from God, given to the marriage relationship for procreation, intimacy, and pleasure. We need to make sure our children understand the value of one man and one woman together for life. They need to see that in our relationship, and they need to practice that in their relationship as well. And then notice with me, letter B, some tips for the conversation. Some tips for this conversation. And I want to see what you've got here in your handout. Okay, you've got these, so we can hustle through these very quickly. And you've got them right there in your notes. Number one, the answer should fit the question. We should initiate this discussion. We should prepare our teens for the battle against sexual temptation. That is a reality. They must be prepared. We need to be relaxed and sensitive in this moment in their life. We need to create an approachable atmosphere in our home. It should not be awkward. It should be natural that they're coming to us and we are talking with them. We need to take advantage of teaching moments. Undoubtedly, we live in a wicked society and things will happen that should not happen. We need to take advantage of that to teach our children. We need to be sure to use correct terms without being embarrassed. When our children are very little, we come up with, we create lingo. We come up with code words. We come up with all kinds of stuff. But at some point in time in their life, we've got to teach them, and we've got to be accurate in our teaching. We need to give them a positive paradigm of sex within marriage. Satan is shouting in their ear as loud as he can that if they want to be bored for the rest of their life, be in one relationship. You've got to convince them from the Word of God that's a lie, and the sexual relationship and marriage for life is the best. They've got to know that, and they've got to hear it from you. You need to be properly affectionate with your spouse in front of your children. They don't need a visual illustration, but they need to be convinced that you and mom are happy. Okay? They need to know mom and dad still love one another. And it needs to be appropriate, but it needs to be visual. They need to know it. They need to be convinced of it in your life. Don't be embarrassed about your own relationship. Be biblical, not just clinical. Give them a truthfully negative paradigm of sex outside of marriage. Again, culture is shouting how exciting it is. Teach them, teach them, teach them. It doesn't take much research to find and figure out where that leads and the the trail of destroyed lives that that leaves. And we want to make sure our children understand what is deceptive and what is truth. Number five, as we close, choose the right context. When you're going to have one of these big conversations, choose the right context. Prepare. All right? Couple thoughts. Letter A, make the event memorable. Make this event memorable. Perhaps, fellas, with your daughters, with a purity ring or some special setting that they won't forget. Make this big. Make this huge. Make this a really big deal. What we are going to engage, we're going to talk, we're going to prepare, and we are together going to journey through this and maintain purity, that you may, at the wedding altar, give something that is priceless. And we want to make it a big deal and prepare in this way. Letter B, choose a private setting where you can converse freely. Put some thought into it. Maybe a dinner reservation in a private room, or you know, a walk by a lake or something. But put thought into it. Create the place. Create the moment. Don't embarrass them. Make it special. Letter C, dads talk to sons. Moms, or dad with moms, talk to daughters. Now, you may be in a single parent situation at the moment, and with God's grace, you do what you can, or get some folks from the church involved. But moms and dads, you've got to engage. And dads, you've got to take the lead in talking with your sons and your daughters about the basics of biblical sex and values and so on, and really helping your sons. And in the case with daughters, there will, as we get to the latter part of those progressions, be times where they might prefer to have a conversation with mom and cover some of the more private details of it. But dad, you've got to be involved. You've got to be vocal. And you say, that isn't me. It isn't me either. But here's the alternative. There's a bunch of creeps out there who would love to talk to our kids about it. Now, we can either sign up for that because we don't know what to say, or we can just get over it and figure it out and sit down and say, God, help me, but I need to do this. And just help me in love to make this the way it ought to be. And may a child coming to the wedding altar in purity be the byproduct of a loving father and mother that said, I got out of my comfort zone. I put on my running shoes and I put the work in, but it paid off. And they're here and they're pure before God. And that's what we want to see. Letter D, make any place right for follow-up questions and conversations. Availability and approachability are essential in protecting our family. Realize this, that you and I are fighting to protect the purity of those who do not yet realize its value in a world that is trying to destroy it. We have to recognize what's out there, and then we have to be willing to combat it with all that we have. There's an insert in your bulletin this morning, 20 reasons to avoid premarital sex. And I wanted you to have this. It might be helping a blessing to you, depending on what phase you're at in this, but this might help you with your children, something to share with them at the appropriate time, 20 reasons to avoid premarital sex. And all of this today, challenging you and I as fathers and mothers to be an uncomfortable parent, to get out of our comfort zone and say, this is my job, this is my responsibility. And at the appropriate time and the appropriate place, at whatever progression I may be at, whether it's protective, whether it's connecting, whether it's preparing, I want to make sure my child is ready for the next step and is providing the purity that she should or he should have at that stage. This is something that they will forever thank you for being involved in their life for. So whatever attack Satan is using to get you on the sideline, tell him that's not going to hinder you and get in the game, because your kids so desperately need you to be an uncomfortable parent. Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for some time this morning around your word and your blessing on our class. Thank you for what you're doing. And help us this morning as fathers and mothers to determine according to your word to be uncomfortable, to be engaged, to get involved, to roll up our sleeves, and to engage in an open relationship with our children, that we may help them at the appropriate time and the appropriate place to engage a decision in their heart to be pure and to be diligent in maintaining that decision through these years where there's so much deception out there. Lord, help us to guard our homes, to know truth, and to be approachable. I pray that you bless every home here today. What a sweet spirit in the room. And we're so thankful for each and every one. I pray that you bless them this week and bring us back safely next Sunday. And we'll praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.